Red Dicks. Red Dicks.
I had an idea to pitch you.
What's that?
We do at this podcast where we just go through. Well, let me go back a little bit. The other week, well, last week.
Yep.
I interviewed two dudes, Gareth and Tom, who are flipping a 90 kg or a tractor tire for 24 hours.
Whoa.
And they're doing this in the name of mental health.
Cool.
So just a couple dudes doing some good stuff. And they're also doing it as a Guinness World Record.
Yeah.
And it made me think of us. And so what I thought maybe what we could do on this podcast is talk about that time, because it buzzes people out when we tell that story.
Yeah.
But because of the nature of social media and because of the nature as we'll be remembered for many different things, that's not maybe one of them yet.
Yeah.
So let's kind of go right back to the beginning and kind of just go through the process.
Yeah.
Like, so, because you tell the story, like, you know, we were working and one day I bowled in your office.
But that's kind of literally what happened. It was literally like you and I shared adjacent offices. You'd kind of, circumstance had had it that Will is a very proficient percher. He likes to perch.
Like you're saying, like a squatter.
No. Squatter, like perch. You perch with purpose. Yeah. Squatters don't squat with purpose.
Perch with purpose. Perch. I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Well, you know, it's early, so who knows what you'll hear today. No, and you'd ended up in the adjacent office to me, and we, as you do, you work. And have a bright idea and share the bright idea and carry on working. And this is only from my perspective, because I have no perspective on the process that led up to that point.
Mm.
As far as I was concerned, it literally was a ding. Oh, what about this? And so, again, I'd be interested to know how much kind of
I'm thinking now
preamble to that point had taken place.
I don't know if I want to go there in my brain, because you know, that's the problem, is that if you really think everything's created off a whim, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Continue.
So anyway, you bowl in the door.
Great.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool if we could do a Guinness World Record?
That's what does that mean? Like, I'd be keen to know from
And legit, I was kind of like, yep. What did you have in mind?
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, I've been thinking I could do the world's highest rugby ball catch.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
so I must have been Googling it.
Well, and because then, like, well, I can't even remember which way around it was, because I do kind of have the sense of you told me, and then I was like, we should probably find out what the record is.
Yeah.
And then I went into your office and we started looking, and then we're like 107 meters. And then we, 103 meters, sorry. Mm. And then we began to cross reference that against.
Well, we put some mega dad science in, like, I think we said, that's possible.
Yeah. Well, we're cross referencing against, well, is that like bridge height?
Yeah.
Is that building height?
Mm.
Yeah. And began the process of going, well, okay, cool. If we're going to do this, how are we going to do it? And I don't know whether we reached a point where we went, we're just not going to find a bridge or a building or a way or a means of getting up to that height other than the helicopters that we landed on, or whether we just didn't hear anything after helicopter came out.
Yeah, I thought we started thinking, you know, like an event and something. I mean, I don't know. Like, I sometimes think back on that whole thing, and it was still pretty epic. Like, we were going for something epic, eh?
Oh.
Well, we were trying to also say that, you know, because we were kind of deep into Rad Dads too.
Yeah.
And it was all about, you know, how do you reach people?
Yeah.
And how do you let dads know that it's okay to, I don't know, try something that you most likely will fail at. Because for me, that, you know, metaphorically is what fatherhood is. Like, yeah, good luck trying to get through and nothing goes wrong.
Yeah, good luck trying to get to your kid's 18th birthday and then not have something to say that you screwed them up.
Yeah. And then found out that actually gave them extra power.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you still screwed them up.
Yeah, on some level. Yeah. Oh, no, 100%. And I think, yeah, the cool thing was is that I don't think that DNA's even changed the cadence and the sort of the amount or the size of what we do. It may have grown and expanded and shrunk at throughout various points in time, but I think that's still very much the key of what we want to do is just to say, hey guys, just take a risk, like actually put yourself out there. It's so easy once those little people arrive to just play it straight, you know, stay in the lane. And that's cool because there's a guarantee and there's certainty and that's what kids want and all the rest of it. But, and you know, we're not advocating for people to go out and do stupid stuff.
And that's probably a fine line that's not really articulated that often, eh?
Yeah.
You know, like risk and stupidness do share a similar...
Well, I think they present themselves in a similar way. But I think it's actually... I think the risk that we were trying to push people into confronting was the risk of being the person you're supposed to be. Because I think that's really what it was. It was how often do we let life get in the way of, you know, you and I were involved with in a podcast with a lovely gentleman last week, Paul Rangawahia, and he was talking about the truth vault, you know. And in your truth vault, if you knew that no one could judge you, what would you do? And it's kind of, I think it was that. So anyway, we were, you know.
Yeah, let's have a reminder about Paul at the end, because I managed to steal a print-off of his cool piece of artwork.
Oh, yeah, nice. Called? Mental health, war and fitness.
Yeah, I reckon we should just, I don't know if we're allowed to or not, but read a couple of them.
Yeah, cool.
I'm sure he'll be cool. Well, we could read one in a podcast, then we've got a cool thing to do for 45 episodes.
It'd be us for a good amount of time.
Good old plagiarism. Take a risk.
Yeah. So we figured out, okay, cool, we're going to do this thing with the helicopter. And that was that.
I think the next thing we did is, I think we tried to make touch base with Richie McCaw.
Yeah.
Oh. In our heads, we were like, well, okay, we've got two dads.
Yeah.
But if we could get Richie McCaw, imagine if we did it now and he's actually a dad.
Yeah.
He'd probably do it. We had sent a cheeky email off, which is part of my life story, sending cheeky emails off. To I think his Christchurch helicopter company.
Yeah.
And they got back to us.
Yeah.
And it was the first moment that I thought, maybe we've got something here. So the email was something like, hey, Richie and team, just touching base, couple dads, Greg and Will, on the journey to break the world's highest rugby ball catch from a helicopter. We were wondering if you guys might be keen to... or if Richie might be keen to fly the helicopter. And it came back, yep.
Yeah.
And so we booked a call. Like, do you remember that call? Yeah. And it's like, it's not every day you talk to Richie McCaw, right?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, Will may have peed his pants just a little bit.
Yeah. I was trying to kind of, you know when you like overcompensate confidence?
Yeah.
And I think
the interesting thing was is that I mean, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe I'm being a bit assumptive. It felt like that was sort of nah. It's all right. I won't say.
What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say it was sort of up until that point. I think that it felt like I'd been in a position where I'd probably be being in that position more, talking to reasonably high profile people.
Right.
Just as a matter of course.
Just yeah, in a more professional sense.
But ironically, probably since then the tide's turned a little bit.
Oh, well. Yeah. I mean, it depends on what the context is, though.
Yeah.
Like, I really wanted it to go well because I knew if we could land Richie McCaw, that that would help our mission.
Yeah.
And the mission was to be in a position where you could try something a bit tough.
Yeah.
And the more I think back on it, man, it was tough.
Yeah.
And there's lots of twists and turns.
Yeah.
Like, that's what jogged my memory. These guys, Gareth and Tom, they're doing this right now.
Yeah.
They've got, at 12 o'clock today will be when they finish.
Oh, wow.
The 24 hours. So they started on yesterday at 12.
Jeepers creepers.
And what actually jogged my memory from our experience was that they said, it's like trying to herd sheep.
Oh, 100%.
And I said to them, well, be careful that you don't spend all your time herding. So when it comes to your actual moment,
yeah,
you don't, you got to save enough resource for that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one thing I learned. Like, one of the biggest memories I have is, it seemed to me that everyone had great communication apart from me and you.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even talk to you.
Yeah.
And you'd think that would be something that's, you know, you're 108 meters away from me in a helicopter. And something as simple as throwing now.
Yeah.
You know, 3, 2, 1. Oh, the wind's caught that. You know, oh, we'll move over to the left a bit. Yeah. I'm watching the wind.
Yeah.
But.
Mate, I wasn't watching the wind. I was terrified, trying not to fall out of the helicopter.
Okay, well, let's get to that soon. So we kind of thought, yep, we're on to a goer here. As my memory serves, we were booked in to go and visit Power Shop in Wellington.
Another random.
Yeah.
And that was
kind of random, but this, it's cheeky emails.
Another cheeky email.
Because, you know, I probably send, this is the trick to my system, to my racket, is you send minimum 10 emails a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out.
Yep.
Either wanting to do a podcast with people or wanting them to sponsor you and, you know, or, hey, can we catch up, you know? And you just do that because 9 don't come back.
Yeah.
But every now and then the Power Shop comes in.
Yeah.
And I called Tom, who was the dude there at the
time.
Shout
out to Tom.
Yep. So
OG
Tom,
Rad Dad.
And he said, well, look, I love Rad Dads. I love all the stuff you're doing. I'm going to fly Greg and you down to come and talk to some of our dads, which is still an area where we haven't explored, which is us visiting companies and talking to fathers. I think that's probably the next phase of Rad Dads.
Yeah.
And then recording those conversations and putting them up as content. So we went down to Power Shop and it was awesome. And we spent the day kind of hanging out with fathers and talking about kids and wives and families and all of these things. And Greg, you tell, we had this meeting at the end, like a bit of a wrap up. And I was like,
I was ready. Yeah, we were sitting in the boardroom, and I do actually. And you know how sometimes your mind kind of creates the little bits in between and fills stuff in for you.
I think most people listening would agree that that happens all of the time.
But I know that this was legitimately the case. It was Tom left the room. Will kind of leans over and he's like, yeah. And as many words it was, I think we better do it. And I was like, oh. And as you, I mean, in case you haven't already picked up, Will's awkward tolerance is a lot higher than mine. And as a result, he's able to net the emails back. My awkward tolerance is a lot lower. And it's something that I continually need to work on. And I was like, oh, are you sure? Oh, okay. Tom comes back
in. Well, part of the reason is because Greg kind of has several different outcomes simultaneously in his head. He's like one of those books where you can turn to any page. See, my capability is not to see that far forward. It's to see more like you got one or two options.
Yeah.
No, there's a yes, no, and a maybe, and I fit firmly in a maybe.
Yeah,
I'm a maybe with lots of people.
You
know, it's like, well, dude, I kind of like the idea, and no one's ever said that, so maybe. And then I take that as a yes. Yes.
And then just hammer it home.
Exactly.
So Tom comes back in and he sits down, and it was just like, it was like the gun had gone off in 100 meters in old Usain Bolt over here. It shot off and it was like, whew, just running.
I'm trying to think of a slightly self-deprecating version of Usain Bolt. I wanted to say like Usain Mold or bootstrap malt. Anyway, old bootstrap pulls himself up by his jandal.
And he's running as fast as he can in his jandals towards Tom, sits him down. We got this idea.
Yeah.
And we think you guys would be into it.
Well, you're listening to what they're saying. And
yeah.
We had gone down, talked to the fathers, and also they said, well, dudes, we like your videos. Could we commission you to make a couple of videos?
Yeah.
And that's the bit I think.
The door had kind of thrown slightly ajar.
I said, yes, you can. And we've got a good, awesome idea.
Yeah.
I think they said something like one of the campaigns at the time was a power chuck.
Power chuck, yep.
And I was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And that, you know, did the lean in, and Craig started like thinking of 34 different realms of science and the flux capacitor and all of these things. And anyway, long story short.
He said yes.
He said yes.
He goes, we love it. We're in.
Yeah.
And I think we both flew home from Wellington that day going, wow, this is so cool. What the heck have we got ourselves in for?
Because we're already like full-time jobs.
Yeah.
100. And full-time families.
Yeah. So anyway.
So some time passed, but that was kind of logistics, and we had to get in touch with Guinness. And
Guinness, yeah.
I also heard from Tom and Gareth, who do the flyer tire flipping challenge,
yeah.
That Guinness is a nightmare.
Yeah, oh, they are.
They're just like, they just don't care. I guess from them, that's like, well, most people don't make it.
Well, it's a marketing stunt that's turned into a, well, because that's what the Guinness Book of Records was.
Yeah.
Was.
I mean, that's what it was, but that's not what people feel it is now. It's a validation.
Oh, 100%.
That's what people think of it as.
But it's just become a way to make money, to be honest.
So, it was $1,000 that we had to give them?
Yeah.
Is it still valid?
I don't know.
I wonder.
I think there might be a time frame on it.
Okay. So we had to get Guinness, and then they gave us some kind of guidelines. Was it specific to us?
Yeah, they just basically said, you know, it has to be standard size rugby ball. Someone needs to be able to validate, you know, you need to name who that person is going to be, who's going to be the observer, blah, 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 blah.
And so it needs to be recorded.
Recorded, just some guidelines on how they could, because like it's $1,000 to do it yourself, or it's like some horrific amount, like $15,000 to get someone from Guinness to come out and be the observer.
Mm.
And we didn't have that kind of money.
Yeah. Still don't. But long story short, it was just a case of just ticking off boxes, talking to a chopper company, talking to a surveyor who could measure the distance from the ground up, talking to Auckland Rugby Union who sent a referee along, talking to the news so they could do it as a live segment, therefore that would have our videography covered.
Yeah.
You know, and it was all of these things. And then
getting berated by Josh Cronfeld.
Oh, no, he didn't berate us, did he?
He did.
But how do you mean berated? Like, just like taking the piss off?
Come on, guys, come on, man.
Oh, I thought you mean, because I would say, the didn't One News Breakfast berate us?
No, they were just quite dismissive.
I still can't watch that. Anyway, let's carry on. Yeah. So you may have picked up that it wasn't a Armageddon ending.
No.
Where we saved, you know, where we blew up the asteroid and, you know, Aerosmith came on. It was an actual reality hit.
Well, so before you get to that, though, it's like, do you, because I vividly remember it, and I will remember for the rest of my life, because I stopped and it was one of those times where I was like, I was glad to have technology in my pocket to stop and take a photo. I'm walking out. I remember parking the car park, walked through the gate onto the helipad, and I just looked out, and it's like this beautiful, absolutely stunning Auckland morning. Rangitoto's in the background. Mm. The sun's coming up. You know, there's breakfast crew getting sorted with their first live cross of the day. Mm. The crowd goes wild. Guys are showing up, and I literally just went, holy crap, like, we've done it.
Mm.
Like, I that was a lot easier for me to say, because I was the guy biffing the balls, and I wasn't the guy that was in, I guess, the viewfinder at the bottom for breakfast going, right. Has he caught it?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was so easy for me to sit there, just go like, I don't need anything else out of today to go. The DNA that kicked this whole thing off was like, that's complete. Like, if no one can't see the intent behind what we're doing here, it's like, I'd be very surprised. Mm. And again, I did empathize with the position that 107 meters, I think, made for quite a different experience for you.
Yes and no. Like, I walking out onto the helipad, seeing the helicopters going and being briefed, like safety briefings, like, yeah, you know, here's what we do if we crash, you know. And I was like, oh, this is serious.
Yeah.
We've created a bit of controlled chaos here.
Yeah.
This isn't done every day.
Yeah.
You know, okay, the Net News crew's going to go through with them, and we've got the 4G on the phone, so we should have a good signal. Yeah. We're going to do one live cross from the helicopter, you know, and it's like, okay, let's all go. And I got kind of a little bit, it was a bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's that hum too, the and it feels serious, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and then you hop in the, and I'm not that much of a fan of flying. I'm not scared of it. I just constantly, what's in my head is, this is weird.
Yeah.
This is weird to be this high. And at least in a plane, you're like, well, that's so high, you can't really make things out.
Yeah.
But when you're in a helicopter, you're like, oh, that's a building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, oh, that's a motorway, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was trying to, like, just breathe, because we were also the, you know, the kind of the showrunners on the day too.
Yeah.
We had to make sure that we were happy and, you know, this and that, and kind of arrived. And I remember Dad's Pies came with Pies for everyone. Yeah. And it was about kind of looking after them and the crew. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, should we give it a go? And we'd all been kind of like a lot of trust in people. And then you realized on the day, the area we were cordoned off, it wasn't mowed, you know, there was potholes in it. And it's just one of those things where you're like, well, of course there will be.
Yeah.
Because you're two dads organizing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you called Survey Works instead of getting Guinness to bring their people out.
Yeah.
But I still liked it like that, because we were against the odds.
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me, that's the fatherhood journey. Like, I honestly think that even with marriage, you are almost against the odds.
Yeah, 100%.
To make it work.
Yeah.
Like, let's just say if you get to the end of life and you're still with someone, that's good. But then, are you happy?
Yeah.
You know? Do your kids still love you? Is there still harmony? Do you still do stuff together? And it seems like that's no, it's as hard as catching a rugby ball from 108 meters in the wind.
But not impossible.
But not impossible.
Yeah.
And worth trying, surely. Surely, right?
Oh, exactly. And I think that's the thing, is there's this entire crazy story that sits behind that, you know, that 2 hour window in our lives whereby that was, you know, that was the pinnacle, you know. And yeah, just I think you could talk about it for years on end.
Well, hopefully it's one of those ones that gets better as we get older. Well,
but it is. It's that little known statistical fact that we had 100 balls in the helicopter. I know that because we pumped them up and we took them up. We had a space for 100 balls in a giant cardboard box that sat in the back seat. And I got cramped from trying to twist in the flipping. I just, as an aside, it was quite funny. I was like, flying doors off in a helicopter is...
I remember when they said that, you were not happy, Chappie, eh? Greg, we could take these doors off and you'll have a harness and you can basically lean out. And Greg was just like...
And then keep talking. They're like, we'll put this one on you too. You don't really need it. I'm like, give me a second harness. Hell, give me a third harness. I'm like, I'm all about triple.
Strap me down just so my arm moves.
Triple redundancy.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I remember the pilot saying to me, can you see the ball going? I'm like, I ain't looking, man. I ain't looking down. I just was like, And eventually I got more and more comfortable the more that we did it. But it was
pretty. Were you throwing them away from me, Greg?
No.
So we had 100 attempts. I think only one ball touched one hand.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it was flying.
Oh, yeah.
But I still believe that I would have had a crack if it had come to me, because we had trained before that at High Pool.
Yeah.
On something like, what, 30, 40, 50 meters?
I think it was about 40.
And it was flying there too.
Yeah.
But I caught it.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking that wasn't that different to someone putting up a huge Gary Owen up and under.
See, that is another aside. That just reminded me. There's something, and again, this is not, Josh was really great to deal with from Crowd Crows World. He was awesome, a lot of fun. But there's something truly satisfying when, having grown up watching Josh Crusher Cromfeld go out and take on, international rugby foes and be this really, really tough, like just absolutely hard as nails rugby player. You get him 40 meters in the air in a snorkel lift, and he is hanging on white knuckled like his life depends on it. There's something strangely satisfying when the tide turns the other way.
That was a little bit hairy though, because you guys did get quite high, and I'm sure I saw that back wheel move a bit, but I never told you.
No, I'm probably,
because it's like it's no use telling you now.
So do you know what's even, so in a strange twist, I don't know whether I ever told you, but my dad used to employ the guy that put us up in the lift.
True.
Yeah, he used to work for him. So I actually,
So are you saying that that guy kind of tried to tip you out?
I'm not saying anything. Possibly.
Look, we went after this challenge and on the day didn't get it. But I knew, because it was a long drive home too, because we flew to Ardmore, was it?
No, we flew out to Paraquai.
Paraquai, that's it.
And I was I got the helicopter ride back. I don't know how that worked.
Well, that went on wait. Because the other chopper left to take the news crew.
Yeah.
And then you left with the other chopper.
Right.
And I stayed, say goodbye to everyone and whatever. And then I came back with John.
Yeah.
Dressed as a cow.
Yeah.
So
I've forgotten about John.
Yeah. Stupid robot fighting. You should check John out, and he's out of it, dude. But he's out of it, dude.
Oh, man. John's an awesome cat.
Yeah.
And I think, again, there was something so poignant about him wanting
He travelled all the way up, eh?
Yeah.
From somewhere down deep New Zealand.
Where is he? He is in, where's the kiwi fruits at?
Katikati.
Yeah, I think he's in Katikati.
Katikati. Anyways, it was a weird day, because we all went back to work after that, because remember, we were up at breakfast.
Yeah.
So and then it was wrapped by 9.
Yeah.
By 9:30, we were driving back to Auckland, and I was just sitting there thinking, what the hell just happened? You know, like, what? And then I think you called me and said, oh, Crowd Goes Wild needs to do an end bit, a reaction. And so we had to go back to the helipad and, simulate, all of that stuff. But I was thinking, surely the best thing I can do right now is not look at it too closely, because it's the part of the story. I always refer to it as, we're at the bit of Rocky where he gets hit in the eye and can't use his good eye anymore.
Yeah.
So he's got to learn how to use something else. And I feel like we're not doing it yet, but eventually it'll come back around and we're going to bloody try again. And I've already kind of thought about it.
But even technology, even in that short space of time, has meant that accessibility to those sorts of things, like all of that stuff is, and that's, I think that's the thing, is the challenge moves on and becomes, there's more straight, it's a little bit more straightforward. You can iterate it on it. You can see where you went wrong. And, but again, we talked about this last week as well. It underpins the need for a really healthy relationship with failure.
Mm.
You know, like, you know, heck, like, what would it be like for us as Rad Dads this week, once this goes out, to intentionally share our failures, but with the lens of, wow, this really didn't go so well, but I've stopped and I've been able to reflect on it, and this is what I've learned, or this is what I've found. Because I think underpinning all of this was the most challenging thing to, you know, because again, it's like, you know, nobody died, nothing really terrible happened, but I think what it did do was there's that part of you that you go and kind of expose it to the world, kind of put your heart on your sleeve and go, hey, look, we'd really like to do this. And then it doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like there's a certain level of, like, that level of vulnerability is almost as painful. And that, please don't hear that as any way belittling to anybody that has been in really, really tough circumstances and lost something. But that vulnerability to say, I'm going to do this, and to spend 6 weeks telling the world at the level at which we did, was really, and then to have it not work out is really hard.
Mm.
But I think what the underpinning it was this idea of, yeah, just really understanding that relationship with failure. And again, I think at a micro level, the story would have been awesome if you'd caught it. But at a macro level, given the intent at which we kind of went into it and what we were trying to prove, this chapter ending, like you say, because we will come back to it, but this ending of the chapter for now is so much better.
Well, it'll make it more sweet.
Yeah, 100%.
Because now whatever output we put out, like a documentary or something, you've actually got a legit stink moment.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you need a stink moment.
This is the inciting incident.
Yeah, yeah, right. Otherwise, if the stink moment's at the end, then that's really stink.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I can think of multiple stories, like, yeah, like One More Win, for example.
Yeah.
That's another thing. I wasn't as close to that, but it's a documentary shot on the Cook Island rugby team playing Fiji to get a spot in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that's also no window and all these things, but doesn't matter because you put yourself out there.
Oh my goodness. Like,
maybe we should do another podcast on One More Win, the documentary.
Jeepers.
Maybe we could get Scott Kelso to join us or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Cam, make it a foursome. That'd be freaky.
Foursome.
Okay. Let's wrap this up.
Yeah. I think as has always been the intent for us on this kind of journey, is that we just want to kind of let people in, and some days we're going to make a whole lot of sense. Other days it's going to be just a really cathartic kind of brain dump for the two of us. But I guess more than anything else, we want to continue in whatever way, shape or form we can to, you know, bringing a full circle back around to why we did this in the first place, was to encourage dads and encourage those around dads. So whether it's fathers of fathers, or whether it's mothers of fathers, or whether it's partners of fathers, I guess to be bold and to be brave, and I guess to be able to, if you are a father, to reframe your idea of failure. Because on the other side of failure is an opportunity to succeed. And that's not, again, not meant to be trite or whatever, but, you know, what would it take today to really just shift that needle and go, I'm actually going to stop allowing that thing that I failed at to be the glass ceiling that stops me from realizing that little bit of extra potential. I mean, I myself, not to kick off another thread, it's just, you know, just working through some stuff myself at the moment, going far out, like, my kids have been missing out. And I couldn't even begin to put it into words how or why I arrived at this destination, but my kids have been missing out on a part of me because I'd been holding on to some things that had happened that I thought I'd failed at. And and I hadn't been able to name them, to kind of give them a face, and then properly moved on. I just kind of made them a part of life and normalized it, which, you know, the psychologist will tell you that that's avoidance coping 101. It's too painful to try and deal with, so just make it normal, and then you don't have to deal with it. And I guess that would be the thing from all of this, you know, like, be bold, be brave, get out there, put yourself out there, but also, like, call the failures for what they are, and find a way to celebrate them, you know, and celebrate them with us.
Well, and acknowledge your losses too, you know, like, that's what we just sat here and talked for 40 minutes or whatever on a challenge we failed at.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, you, if you go after something, no, you might not get it. Like, just because I've said I want to still be married when I'm old, dude, it might not happen. You know, there's a lot of meters between that.
Yeah.
And you got to, like, hope that the wind isn't too strong. Hope that the ball is on your side.
Yeah.
And I'm okay if I never catch a rugby ball. If that's taking up my bad luck, I'll save my good luck for other stuff. But yeah, man, I want to try something, Greg. So,
yep.
Rangi Wahia, he's kind of involved in the circle a little bit through your business stuff, Greg. But I got to meet him too, and just give a little bio of Paul.
He's now an artist and
so Kiwi dude,
artist. Kiwi dude from Taranaki.
Yep.
He's an artist and mental health advocate, doing a lot with local council down there in Taranaki, and just a guy with a really fascinating story. Grew up as a reasonably successful sports person, got into business, kind of some stuff went down in the business world that wasn't so flash, and he kind of had this point in time where he went from being super successful, everything kind of coming relatively easily, to hitting a bit of a brick wall and life changing quite significantly, and changing his course into the creative field, creative pathways, and he's now educating and exploring mental health through his artwork. And sort of at the centerpiece of that is the Mental Health War and Fitness, which is a list of, I guess, just 45 things that he identified in his own life and in this kind of single piece of art as a bit of a roadmap for himself, but seemed to resonate a lot with the people that saw the piece of art, and has kind of almost become a little bit of a backbone or pillar to all of the work he's doing in mental health advocacy as well.
And so I'd like to, if we can, should we just start at number one?
Yeah, number one.
And I think it's that one, eh?
I think so.
So on the printout. So number one, and maybe we can just read one out every week. Number one is don't judge or compare yourself.
Yep.
What I like is that it seems easy to do.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other journey.
Yeah.
Because we're good judges on ourselves, eh?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And what I like about this particular 45 is there's also a little bit of ambiguity in there as well.
Mm.
Don't judge or compare yourself. What? To others, but I think, yeah, definitely, 100%.
So, Paul, if you're listening or watching, hope you're okay with us just acknowledging your work and sharing it with our community.
I did actually say to him, we'd try and get him on at some stage.
I think we should go see him.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Cool, brother. All right. What do you want to plug this week? Anything to plug? What's Team Buckley up to?
Oh, continuing our journey towards Worlds in 2020. It's World BMX Champs this week, actually. In
Did
Zold.
You share with everyone that you had a good win?
I can't remember. I think we won.
You entered a comp, eh?
Yeah, we entered a comp, and we're able to win, and we've got a... It's funny. It's a little bit of a double-edged sword because...
Oh, true.
No, it's great because the guys at Gull were able to... sort us out with some money, and it's a significant amount of money, but it's only part of the way there. And so we're in this catch 22 where it's kind of like we have to go now because we've won the competition, which is cool. But we've also gone, we're also needing to really sort out how on earth we create the shortfall. So, but no, it's we're just pretty much, we're back into racing in 2 weeks. So awesome. That'll be exciting.
Awesome. Sweet.
How about yourself?
Nah, just standard, trying to podcast my little cotton socks off. I've done the first build of the caravan.
Yeah.
Well, not the caravan, it's a little van. And just trying to be busy. I've been on my own for the last month. I'll be looking forward to having some human contact and seeing my daughter walk and, yeah, just maybe not living in my head the whole time because it ain't much fun. You know, it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
when you've only got you to talk to.
It's pretty nuts.
I'm a weird dude though. Like, really, I should have been going out and having a good time and you know what I mean? But because I can. But I wasn't. I still sit here and watch Netflix.
No, mate. It just means that your priorities have changed for the better, probably.
I mean more experiences, you know? Like, I could have climbed all of Auckland's volcanoes.
Yeah, but, but I guess there's only... When you're geared to want to do that in community with others, there's only so much that you can gain from doing it by yourself.
Is that on that list? Start a list, Greg.
All right, I'll start a list.
All right, team. Thanks, everyone, for watching and listening. And we'll see you in the next episode. Until then...
Be a radical dadical.
Not a rudical dudical.
I love it.
See ya.
What? Right, that's...